you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So I'm going to start there, Mark, and I appreciate you being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends. And that was a verse that you said is one of your go-to verses that you love to talk about, think about, share. And I thought the best way to maybe introduce you to some of the listeners that are unfamiliar with your very successful music ministry was to begin with a song that I've really delighted in, especially of late as we've been emphasizing prayer and worship. And it's the song off your new CD, Follow. It's a live arrangement of some of the old favorites, God of Glory, I Am, and some other newer arrangements. But this song is Lift Up Your Hands. And so I just want to alert our listeners of this song and the fact that you're coming to town in a couple weeks. In fact, on October 14th, you'll be presenting at the Pregnancy Resource Center in Champaign. And actually, people have about 6 more days to register for that. And so we'll talk more about why you're coming to town and the special role that God has on your heart to helping pregnancy resource centers and adoptions and caring for women that are in that difficult decision on what to do with their pregnancy. And so let's hear Lift Up Your Hands. This is by Mark Schultz, and it's off his brand new CD. It's a live CD called Follow.
I know that your heart is past broken, and it feels like you got nothing left. And you can't find your song cause you can't even speak. You're just trying to take the next breath. And you find yourself here in this moment. We've all gathered to praise. Though you wish that you did, you got nothing to give. It's enough that you're here anyway. So let me stand up and sing of His goodness. Let me lift up a song in Your place. Cause I know that He'll always be with us, even when we can't see His face. I'm gonna sing. Shadows, too weary and worn out to stand, and I'm gonna need you beside me to lift up this song once again. So let me stand up and sing of His goodness. Let me lift up a song in Your place, cause I
I'll be
lift up your hands when you can.
That's Lift Up Your Hands by Mark Schultz, who's coming to town in a couple weeks. He'll be speaking at the annual fundraising banquet for the Pregnancy Resource Center. And you can find out more or get registered by calling 217-398-6511, 217-398-6511, or you can stop by chprcevents.org. That's chprcevents.org to find out more about the upcoming banquet, October 14th. Also, Holly and I have a table, and if you'd like to sit with us, we'd be happy to have you join us. Just call the station, and we can include you at our table. We look forward to this banquet. It's always a great time to meet with other listeners and friends and support the Pregnancy Resource Center. So again, that's happening on October 14th, but you need to get your reservations in by October 5th. Well, through that song, Lift Up Your Hands, I wrote down a few things. The battle is not over yet. Thank him for all he's done. Stand up and shout hallelujah. Mark, what was your intent when you wrote that song? And were you thinking about prayer? Because that's a big topic that I'd like our listeners to continue to wrestle with and think about and talk over.
Absolutely. You know, I was a youth director for about 10 years, and it was a family-based youth ministry. So it was the whole family working together as a team. So instead of just a bunch of kids in the corner and the youth group and the church, it was the whole families coming together. And so what made that special was that it was more of a team effort. And so it's kind of like it takes a village to raise a child in our church. And so we would really undergird our ministry with prayer, and all the families would be involved in it. And so it would be maybe a mom and dad lifting up another mom and dad who had a teenager who was going through some struggles. And, you know, you need that nowadays. You need people around you to support you and encourage you. And so that was the idea of that. Sometimes when you're weary and you've got nothing left, you need somebody around you who will lift up your hands for you. You know, there's a Bible verse that talks about Moses holding his hands up, and he gets tired, and so his friends are holding his hands up for him. And so that seemed to be such a great image for families and kids in a church. There's just times where families are weary and they're just tired, and they need those around them in Bible studies and in their youth group to be with them and to see the victory that's coming and call that out before the person that's walking through the struggle sees it, you know? That's just a great way to live.
And we began with Hebrews 12:1, and I read part of verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, because we always want to bring back lifting him on high. But you talked about the importance of being surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. Has that influenced your music ministry these many years?
When I was the youth director and started writing songs, they were all based on themes around a cloud of witnesses. And so one was actually a song called Cloud of Witnesses off my first record. But as a youth director, I would write songs about what I saw happening in a church. And that was the way God was working through the lives of the kids, the way that God was working through the lives of the families. And so whether it was a song called He's My Son about a dad who was praying over his son at night because his son had cancer, I would go on mission trips with these kids and see how God would get a hold of their hearts and change them. And then I would write those songs. And then all the kids would come on Sunday and they would sing that song back to the congregation. And so the congregation would feel like, oh my gosh, we feel like we've been on the mission trip too, because the kids are singing back their experiences of what they did and how they experienced God on that trip. My whole ministry over the last 20 years has really been based around that idea of a cloud of witnesses lifting each other up through prayer and works to encourage each other through Christ.
In case you're just tuning in, now this is typically my pattern. We're about 12 minutes into the interview without me formally introducing our special guest who will be coming to the greater Champaign-Urbana area on October 14th. But our special guest today during Mark and Friends is Mark Schultz. And what I have to say about him in the brief time that I've gotten to know him, a great sense of humor, a passion for God. He uses his gift and abilities, writing songs and performing and presenting the name of Jesus wherever he goes. But a lot of artists talk about chasing their dreams. But for Christian recording artist Mark Schultz, it's never been about the chase. Instead, it's about following God's call. Incidentally, this has led to what looks like any artist's dream. 2 million records sold to date, 10 number one singles, a Dove Award, as well as multiple nominations. And this is a quote from Mark Schultz, "Whatever season I'm in, that's the call I'm following." Since his last album release in 2012, things slowed down on the music and touring side of things, but not on the family side. Schultz and his wife have 4 kids, ages 9, 7, 5, and 2. And while he is still following the call of fatherhood, God's call has also led Schultz back to music with a new energy, new perspective, and a new album aptly titled Follow. This live album is a mix of new songs and fan favorites, worship anthems, God of Glory, and I Am, both appear on this album. And so, Mark, we're just excited to have you sharing your music artistry with great folks that will turn out for the Pregnancy Resource Center in Champaign. And what was the catalyst to get you to come, and why are you passionate about coming and sharing?
Yeah, this is easy. I was adopted when I was 2 weeks old, and I always tell people it's the hardest 2 weeks of my life with the paperwork and everything, but I got great parents, and so I'm grateful for a place that really influenced my mom, my birth mom, and that was a place that she was trying to choose between abortion and giving me life. They really walked her through the options, and she chose life. And so when I got this call to be a part of this event, I was like, absolutely, because it's central to who I am as a person, so much so that my wife and I have adopted. One of our daughters is now 5. She's from China, and one of our daughters is 2, and she comes from the same state, the same city, and the same adoption agency that I came through, and had a very much the same story that I did, a birth mom who chose life for her because of an organization who got involved in her life. Not only do I owe my own life to a pro-life organization, I owe the lives of my daughters as well.
Please share a little about some of your faith journey, just so we can kind of know where God has you these many years. And I did bring up prayer, because when you have all these ministry demands and obviously raising a family and being taxed and stretched and pulled different directions, I'm sure prayer has become ever-increasing or something that you rely on to say, Lord, I can't handle it. This is beyond me.
Yeah, it seems like the more kids we add, the more it gets beyond me.
Sure.
But I would say, you know, as a youth director, I was a Christian growing up and then came to Nashville and didn't intend to be a youth director. I just was a waiter trying to make it in the music business, and I ran into a youth minister who thought I was funny, and he said, do you like hanging out with kids? And I was like, no. But he said, do you like snow skiing? And I said, yes. So he took me on a ski trip, and he just didn't tell me I was taking 15 seventh graders, and I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning one morning on the ski trip, duct taped to the bed by the seventh graders. So I stayed with them from their seventh grade year till they graduated from college, and one of the things that we did that was so important is a couple times a week we would meet at 5:30 in the morning. We would pray for our youth group, pray for the kids who came to that prayer time in the morning, and found that to be pretty instrumental in what our ministry was all about. And so I continue that on now with my own family, to get up and pray for my family before they're off to school. And sometimes if I still have any energy left, we pray for them at night as well before they go to bed. And so I feel like covering them in prayer, whether you're talking about your own kids, kids in the youth group, or family, is an important thing to do. And so I have no idea what the question you asked me. But I covered a lot of ground on that one.
Well, if God was going to answer your prayers when you come and speak, what would you want people to leave with or be cognizant of or have a greater awareness of?
Oh, yeah, another easy one. I would just say this. The people who have made the biggest impact in my life are the people who didn't wait to see what the story God was telling from their actions of jumping into my life, meaning when my mom and dad adopted me, they didn't say, gosh, how's this going to turn out? God, just tell us how this little guy's story, he's only 2 weeks old, tell us what his life's going to be like exactly, and if it sounds good to us, we'll jump into his life. They didn't do that. What they did, and what my birth mom did, she didn't know what my story was going to be, but she trusted God enough to say, I'm just going to give this little person a chance. I'm going to open up the door for you to write the rest of his story. And my mom and dad did that. My birth mom did that. Several people in my life have done that. So my hope is the folks that come to this concert will be moved in a way that they'll say, if it means saving a life, I'm going to jump in financially, I'm going to jump in prayerfully, and I'm going to jump in a volunteer basis, not because I know how every story is going to turn out of the lives that I jump into. All God asked me to do is do what he's already done for me, which is open up my arms and say I'm in, and just mirror exactly what he did in my life, just mirror that back to the rest of the world.
You know, as you were speaking, I wrote down the word history, but when you look at it really closely, it's his story, and that's kind of what you're sharing, is how God has worked through your life and equipped you and prepared you to speak and share. And when did he lead you into the music ministry? Were you just gifted early on with a guitar, or how did that all come together?
And I'll just echo what you just said. What I say during my concert is that when you keep your arms crossed and your heads down and you don't get involved in people's life, you continue to write your own story, and it's a small story. But when you open up your arms and tell God, hey, I'm in, all of a sudden you're living out of God's story, and now he's the author of that. And you hold on because he's got great abilities to write great stories with you in it. But I would say this. I've always loved writing songs. I've always loved singing. It wasn't until I was in college, one of my friends said, hey, I can see you being like a Christian music artist. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. So I grew up in a town that didn't have Christian music on the radio station. And she said, I'll take you to a concert. And she took me to a Stephen Curtis Chapman concert one weekend. And I thought it was phenomenal. I mean, it was a great show, but I'd never seen people pray for each other in the parking lot as they were leaving after the concert. And I was like, I want to be involved in something like that. And it led me to Nashville. Again, I opened up my arms and said, God, I'm in. And next thing I know, I'm getting duct taped to a bed by a bunch of seventh graders, and the rest is history.
Yeah, well, we're encouraged and excited and look forward to seeing you on October 14th at the Pregnancy Resource Center. It's their annual fundraising banquet, and you can get involved and learn more by calling 217-398-6511, 217-398-6511, or stop by chprcevents.org. chprcevents.org, or as mentioned on the front end of the program, Holly and I have a table, and we could still use a few other table mates. If you want to sit with us, we'd love to have you. We highly support the Pregnancy Resource Center, the great work that they do, and hope you can get involved. And Mark Schultz, we'll be praying for you over the next few weeks. And how can we specifically pray? What are your needs? Obviously, with four children, there's always endless demands on your time and energy, but how else can we pray for you in the days ahead?
Oh, absolutely. More sleep would be great. Yeah. I would love that. And just pray for my kids that we're transitioning now into a new home. They are just running around. The house is still kind of empty because we don't have our stuff moved in there. And so they get home from school and start running and screaming around the house because they don't recognize anything and they're just having a blast. But good transition for them, peace for us as we go into this next part of our journey. And I would say this as well for the folks who are on the fence about coming to this event. I can guarantee you, because I love doing these events, people will never be at an event again where they will laugh as hard. They're going to cry a little bit, too, because I'm going to pull the heartstrings a little bit because my story has some heartstring pullers in it. But I guarantee you that they will not leave this event and feel like they maybe shouldn't have come. They will guaranteed they will come out of this event and say, I'm so glad I was at that event, and I can't wait to bring somebody next year to the next one.
Yeah, and I appreciate, because of how the Pregnancy Resource Center puts it together, they actually have two of these large rooms that are kind of quasi-connected, and apparently you would be putting on like a live concert in one half, and then you'll learn as you get here, then you'll kind of walk over to the other half and also put on a concert in that room, and then they'll have it all videoed. So I think there's about capacity for about 800 people. So it's always well attended. They do a great job. It's a great meal, and we'll just be praying you up and know that we're in for a blessing as you continue to follow God and use your artistry and your music ministry to touch lives, and then personal sharing of your own testimony of being adopted and encouraging us all to consider different ways that we can help either single moms or mothers in crisis, or for that matter, young men and women that are deciding certain things on how to make a better choice and choose life. Well, we look forward to having Mark Schultz in town in a couple weeks. He'll be coming on October 14th. He'll be sharing at the Pregnancy Resource Center's annual fundraising banquet. To find out more, call 217-398-6511. Or stop by chprcevents.org. Well, thank you, Mark, for being available for the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, and we'll be praying you up and looking forward to seeing you on October 14th.
I'm looking so forward to it, Mark. Thanks so much for the chance to talk to you.
Take care. Well, I'm going to close out with another song by Mark Schultz off his CD, Follow. This is titled Handed Down. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
That hammer hanging on the wall once belonged to my grandpa. That old Remington 22 he gave to me when I learned to shoot. This guitar that I'm strumming here, Daddy played it every night for years. Let me make it clear, I used to think the good life was something you could buy, living for that next high. Yeah, but that comes at a price. Whatever it was never enough. I finally woke up and I took a good look around. You see, the things that mean the most to me, I found, have been handed down. You hold the door for the girl, say thank you and yes, sir. You bow your head when we turn in grace, say what you mean and do what you say. You help your neighbor when the chips are down, around here that's what it's all about. But let me tell you now, I used to think the good life was something you could buy, living for that next high. Yeah, but that comes at a price. Whatever it was never enough. I finally woke up and I took a good look around. See, the things that mean the most to me, I found, have been handed down. I've learned a thing or two. You can't put a price on things that mean the most to you. Like a small town, a football game, a sunset and a front porch swing. I used to think the good life was something you could buy, living for that next high. But it just don't. Whatever it was never enough. I finally woke up and I took a good look around. See, the things that mean the most to me, I found. Yes, the things that I have built my world around have been handed down.
You are nice. Hey, remember when we were listening to that record where Schultz forgot his own song? We were there. We were actually there. Thanks, y'all, so much.